Okay. The bright light says it's on. Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. All righty. It was back here. I don't know about you, but I tell you, I'm ready to meet the Lord. I'm ready for Him to come and take us home. I have no reservations of Him coming back again and taking me home. I'm ready to go. I don't have anything that's holding me back from leaving this old God-forsaken world. My friend, I tell you, I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for my sins, for your sins. Oh, had it not been for the blood, we'd have no redemption of sins. We'd have no forgiveness of sins. We'd have nothing covering our sins. Oh, my. Thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all our sin. Well, folks, this morning, it's still good to be back with you. Tonight, if you'll come back tonight, I'm going to preach a message about fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know that? Each and every one of you are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. And I want to go into that tonight, if you will. But today, this morning, I'd like to say that there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. There's an old song about that. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And God tells us we should want to run away from hell and get as far away from it as we can. But I'm afraid today the majority of people are running just headlong and hard as they can go toward hell. And what a sad time we're living in. If you will, turn in your Bible today. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, 27. Let me say this. A man may go to heaven without health, wealth, or fame. He may go without having a great name. He may go to heaven without learning or having an education. He may go to heaven without friends or family or without 10,000 other things that you could come up with. But I can assure you of this one thing. A man can never go to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ and His blood applied to them. It is impossible to get to heaven without Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, you ain't got to turn there. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, and that is of a truth. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, well, God, I want to thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Father. Thank you for allowing me to be able to preach. Thank you, Father, for all those folks that has come out today. Father, I pray that you fill me with the Holy Ghost of God. Help me not to say the things, dear Lord, that does not need to be said. But Lord, help me to say those things which cometh from you. Father, we ask that your presence would be here. We've already felt your presence during the singing this morning, the congregational singing, the special singing. Father, I thank you for that. It lifted my spirits, and I pray that it lifted everyone else's. Now, Father, help us, dear Lord, as we go into this serious time right here of the preaching and hearing of your word. Father, that the Holy Ghost of God would have full reign to be able to speak to hearts and convict hearts here this morning. Father, there may be one here lost today. Maybe they just played church. Maybe they've pretended. Maybe they've got some folks duped or fooled, and maybe their own self has been deceived. But dear God, I pray that you would awaken that soul this morning by the flooding of your precious word and by the Spirit of God, that they would realize that they're in lost condition. And dear God, they would want to grasp heaven through you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help them now. Watch over us. Be with us here today, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In your Bible there, just as God said it, it's just as sure. It is appointed unto man once to die, every person. Nobody is to escape that, but after this, the judgment. The message that I'm about to preach unto you is not a message that I enjoy preaching. about. But I must obey the Holy Ghost of God as I put much prayer on what to preach. And I must preach what He directs. This message must be preached because their souls, I believe, that's hanging in the balance between life and death, between heaven and hell. And I want to say this morning, I love you. But I want to say this morning, I love you so much that I would give you a warning from God's own word that hell is real. Hell is real. There's no way I can sugarcoat it. And there's no way that I would want to sugarcoat it. Jesus spoke more about hell than He did about heaven when He was here on the earth. Because hell is real. And He knew hell was real. And that's the reason why when the Father asked Him to go and die and be our propitiation for our sins, that He had no reluctance of doing that. He had no second thoughts of doing that. But He came willingly and died for you and I because hell is real. And He didn't want anyone to go there and have to suffer that terrible punishment. Hell is a literal place of torment, my friend. And Jesus knew that. And God loves you so much and loved me so much that He didn't want us to have to go to the place of torment. And this tormented place, my friend, it's not just for a year. It's not for 10 years. And my friend, it's not for 100 years. It's not even for 1,000 years. But it's for eternity, my friend. Eternity. It's forever and forever. And God knew that. And that's the reason why He sent His Son to die for you and I. So that you and I could have a way to escape hell. So that you and I would not have to go there and spend all eternity in torment. And I'd like to say hell is for anyone who goes there. Man must be warned of this impending judgment. And as I said at the start, there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And for a few minutes of your time, I'd like to preach this one message right here. One breath away from hell. One breath away from hell. I do not know your spiritual condition right now. I do not know if you've given your life to Christ. Have you been born again? Only you and God knows that. But this is your time to listen, and this is your time to try to get hold and let God speak to your heart this morning and convict your heart, and you realize that if I do not get saved, if I am not born again, then I am one breath away from hell. At this very moment, your heartbeat is not guaranteed to beat one more second. Did you know that? God could reach down from heaven right now and take any of us right now and just squeeze our heart. And we would fall dead right then. And life as we know it here on earth would be over forever. And your soul will depart from your body at that very moment. And if you've been born again, your soul will immediately go to heaven to be with God. But if you have never been born again, if you've rejected Jesus Christ, then you're one breath away from hell if He was to squeeze your heart today. The next second after you die, you would end up in hell in this place of torment. First, let us determine where is hell? A lot of people ask that question. Where is hell? If it's so real, where is it then? The Bible tells us exactly where it's at. Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. For as Jesus said this, for as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be there 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus told us where hell's at. It's in the center of the earth. It's under our feet, you see. That's where hell is, literally. And that's where Jesus went down there to the Old Testament saints that had died They were in a place called paradise up there. And he went there to preach to them and to tell them of his great sacrifice. And he was fixing to raise up on the third day from the dead and conquer death, hell, and the grave. And he took those souls with him when he did to heaven. And he'd done away with that paradise. He'd done away with that section of hell where the Old Testament saints were kept at that time until they were redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. That hell, being in the center of the earth. Secondly, what is it like? If you're turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Jesus didn't only tell us where hell is. He told us what it's like. He told us without any reservation. Without making any kind of excuse. Without sugarcoating it anyway. Of what hell is like. And in Luke chapter 16 account, in verses 19 through 31, the Bible says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. He had it all. Think about spending eternity. Where was he going to spend eternity? No. He didn't think about that. All he wanted was all his treasures that he had and everything he could lay up here on this earth. Everything he could get and gain here on this earth. Where's the next party? Where's he going to entertain the next party? What is he going to do in order to make his flesh feel good, you see? And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate. Full of sores, laid at the rich man's gate. Verse 21, talking about Lazarus, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. Sores of Lazarus. Had nobody to care for him. Nobody wanted him, you see. And this rich man would pass through that gate day after day. And all Lazarus was wanting, just the crumbs that falls from your table. Can you see him begging that rich man when he would come riding by? And that rich man would just turn his nose up to him. I don't have no time of day for you. I care nothing for you. I have nothing for you. And it came to pass that the beggar died. God had time for him, though. Praise God. And was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. See, no matter who you are, rich or poor, no matter how much, if you've got a prestige or you don't have any prestige, it doesn't matter if anybody knows you or not. Death comes. And this rich man did not realize he was one breath away from hell. And notice what it says in verse 23. When this rich man died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, the rich man did, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, talking about Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. How many lost people today? How many is there that denies Jesus Christ, that rejects him, will not believe that he rose from the dead? You see what that's talking about there? They won't even believe even one rose from the dead and paid their way to salvation. So what is hell like? Well, according to this account that I've just read, you have eyesight there. Verse 23, and in hell lift up his eyes, the rich man did, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. So you can see what's going on in hell. You'll be able to see all those that are in torments along with you. You can't shut your eyes and shut it out and say, no, this is not happening. No, I'm not here. Because it's going to be real. Because it is real. Hell is a real place. Verse 24, there will be crying there. And he crieth and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Oh, this rich man didn't have time to cry, maybe. Or maybe he was so prestigious that he didn't have to cry when he was on the earth. But now he finds himself in hell and he crieth aloud, you see. He can't help but cry and weep there. The Bible says there is weeping and gnashing of teeth there. That weeping and gnashing of teeth, it means that they're crying tremendously and cannot stop. And the gnashing is that they're gritting and grinding their teeth because they're in such torments. Oh. Verse 24, there will be thirsting forever with no relief there. There is no water there, but fire in this place. Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Oh my. Can you imagine being there just for 10 years in that place of torment and not being able to get one drop of water? Have you ever been so thirsty that it seemed like your tongue would cleave to your mouth and you can't even hardly move your tongue? Have you ever been so thirsty that it just seemed like I'm gonna pass out if I don't get a drop of water, if I don't get a drink of water? But imagine being in hell for eternity and having that longing of being so thirsty and there'd be no water, nothing to drink, nothing to quench the thirst, nothing. But to be thirsting forever and forever, because hell is real. Verse 25, 29, and 31, you'll be able to hear in hell. But Abraham said, Abraham wouldn't have said anything to the rich man if the rich man couldn't hear why he's in hell. You see? He said to him. And the rich man was replying back and forth to him. So that means you can hear in hell. Verse 29, and Abraham saith unto him. Verse 31, he said unto him. So you won't be able to shut your ears. You won't be able to close up your ears. And let me say this. You may listen to the junk here in this world, and you may let it soak into your mind and come through your ears, and it may just have a hold on you where you don't want to get saved. And you think, oh, I'm living the life right now. But let me tell you something. There'll come a day in hell when you wish you never listened to some of the garbage that this world puts out and spews out. Be able to hear in hell. I believe that awareness of hearing that you would be able to hear in your ears all the times that you said no to God. And that would be one of the torments of hell. I think you'll see it with your own eyes. Be able to focus back at the time that I was sitting in a church service and the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. And when the invitation time came and I said, no, I'll put it off to another day. I'll put it off to a more convenient time. I don't need to get saved today. I've got plenty of life to live. And in hell, you lift up your eyes, being in torment, and you'll see that time after time after time for eternity of where you rejected Christ when you had the opportunity to get saved. In hell, a person has full consciousness and awareness of where he is and everything going on around him or her. Everything going on. Verse 25, the reason why I say that. And Abraham said, son, remember. Remember. Your mind will not leave you when you go to hell. You'll still have your full faculty like you never had it before. You have the full awareness of everything and everyone around you. You'll have the full awareness of all the pains of the torments of hell. You'll have the full conscience, my friend. Of this terrible place. You will remember there. And as I said a while ago, not only will you see it with your eyes and hear it with your ears, but your mind, you'll hear. You'll remember. You'll remember. Every time you rejected Christ, every time God wanted to love you and say, I love you, I love you, I want to save you, will you not accept my son as your Savior? Why do you hesitate from being saved? Why? You'll remember all of that. Well, in verse 23, hell is a place of torments. That's plural. It's not just one torment to an individual, but it's torments, my friend. And those torments do not cease. They will continue forever and forever. Some of those torments to an individual, whatever kept you from that, whatever you loved more here on this earth, and you love more than, so much more, that you would not accept Christ as your Savior. Whatever besetting sin that was, whatever it is that just kept, you wanted to cling to it, and you loved it so much that you would say, no, no, no to God. You'll desire that in hell, but you won't be able to have it. A drunkard, if that's what's kept him from getting saved, or a drug addict, if that's what's kept them from getting saved, they'll have that desire of having that next drink. They'll have that desire of having that next fix, and they'll never have it for all eternity. They'll desire it and want it, but they'll never be able to get it. That's some of the torments of hell. Well, verse 24, 27 to 31. Hell is a place of sorrow. Sorrow. That rich man. Oh. Now since he's found himself in this fiery, burning hell of torments, now he's sorrowful. He didn't call on anyone else to bring him a drink of water. He called on Lazarus. He remembered that poor man that he passed by day and would not give him anything. He was sorrowful. Oh, verse 23, 24, and 28, it's a place of fire. It says, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This fire right here in hell is not like fire that you have on earth here. This is a consuming fire here on earth. Whatever it gets a hold of, it burns up and disintegrates. But in hell, that's an eternal fire that's burning, and all you feel is the pain. You feel the flames. And it causes you all this pain of burning and burning all over. But you're never consumed, my friend. You're never burned up. You're never disintegrated. You'll feel the pains of that burning for all eternity. Hell is real. It's a place of intense, intense heat and fire. You can read in Mark chapter 9. Jesus again saying a description of hell. Mark chapter 9, read with me in verse 42. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for them to have a millstone were hanged about his neck and were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. That fire is never quenched in hell. It's never put out. It's never extinguished. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And it continues on down through 48 there. One breath away from hell. Hell is a place of no mercy can be found. Back in our text over here in Luke chapter 16, we see in verse 24 again, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me. No more mercy. No more chance of getting saved. No more chance of ever being delivered and rescued out of that place of hell. Now is the appointed time of salvation. Today, you cannot get saved once you die and go to hell. No more mercy found there in hell. There'll be no more grace there in hell. God is showing His grace today by giving His Son to us, by making salvation so easy to believe in Jesus Christ and receive Him as our Savior. Place real fire, real smoke, real screams, real pain, and real darkness. Yes, they'll be screaming there. There's no horror movie that man has ever made that would be as bad as hell would be. Hell is a place that stirreth up and moved at the coming of others. Read with me in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 9. The Bible says, hell from beneath, again in the center of the earth, right? Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee. My friend in Isaiah chapter, let me continue on in verse 9. Hell enlarges itself and opens her mouth without measure to receive all hell-bound sinners. It moves. It opens up. It becomes larger to receive more occupants. I believe every time that there's an earthquake on planet Earth, I believe that's hell opening up larger. Something's got to give, right? Inside that earth. When it enlarges itself, when it stirreth itself up to receive others that's coming into there, it enlarges herself and opens up her mouth without measure. Oh my, Isaiah chapter 5 verse 14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and openeth her mouth without measure. Enlarges itself. Hell is a place for the proud. It's filled with proud people. The number one sin that will keep an individual from getting saved is pride. You think about that. Oh, I'm not going to go down there at that altar. And everybody see me bow down there and receive Christ as my Savior. Don't you realize that's a lie from hell, from the devil himself? People rejoice when you get saved. They rejoice. All the angels in heaven rejoice when you get saved, my friend. See, God, He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to salvation. It does Him good. He loves to see people get saved. The devil is the one that talks you out of that. Your pride is the one that keeps you from moving toward God. Oh, I can't believe it. That preacher would say, I'm going to hell. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. God says it. If you've never received His way of salvation, which is Jesus Christ, hell is a place for the proud. In verse 19, you'll see that. That rich man, he fared sumptuously. He had it all. He had the pride and the pomp. And nobody was going to tell him. Nobody was going to warn him. He knew something about hell. If he had not, when he cried out over there for Father Abraham to send Lazarus back to the earth and warn my brethren, warn them not to come to this place. And Moses answered, Abraham answered him and said, but they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they had the Old Testament part there. You've read it. You know it. You've heard it. You know to turn to God. They know it. Man without excuse. Verse 24. When Lazarus there is crying, he's begging for mercy and so forth. He's praying to him. He's praying to have mercy on him. He's praying somehow to get him some kind of relief from this torment. Verse 27, the rich man said, then he said, I pray thee therefore. When you get to hell, it's too late for prayer. It's too late. Hell, verse 24 through 31, place of regret and heartbreak. That rich man had it all while he's on earth, but he realized I have nothing but torment. His life now that he lived on the earth, he's regretting it, and he's just in heartbreak over it. He's in heartbreak over his brothers that he can't warn them now. And he's sorrowful, and he's broken about it because he thinks his brother's coming too. Because if they're going to live the life he lived, and if they reject Christ as Savior, they too went to hell. Hell is a place of pain, verse 23 through 24 and verse 28. It's a place of pain, being in torments. Psalms 116, verse 3, the sorrows of death compasseth me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Pains of hell. Hell is a place of gates and bars. Did you know that? Job chapter 17, verse 16. They shall go down to the bars of the pit when our rest together is in the dust. Matthew 16, 18. And I say unto thee, this is Jesus speaking, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Revelation chapter 9, talking about that pit. That pit is the pit of hell. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And when he opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong chapter, chapter 9. And in the fifth angel said, and I saw a star fall from heaven upon the earth. And to him was given the key of what? The bottomless pit. That's hell. In the center of the earth. And he opened the bottomless pit. Must be a gate there, isn't it? And there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of smoke of the pit. Verse 11 of that same chapter. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. And you could go on to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8, and then chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. That's in the future. So it's a place of bars and gates. Hell is a place that is never satisfied. Proverbs 27, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20. Hell and destruction are never full. Never full. It continues to enlarge itself to receive the occupants thereof. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 5. Yea also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlarges his desire as hell and is as death and cannot be satisfied. Hell is never satisfied. A lost sinner is not satisfied with just committing sin. But he likes to entice others to get involved with that same sin. You ever notice that? Be careful who you're friends with, young people. Be careful. You pull up alongside lost people, they'll take you further than you want to go. And they'll cost you more than you want to pay. And they'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Because hell is never satisfied. He causes others, a sinner does, to take part in his own sins. Misery and sorrow and sin loves company, my friend. Yep. Finally, as I close, hell is in the heart of the earth. It will be a place that is cast into the lake of fire. People that are already in hell, they think that's torment. There's an even greater torment coming. It's called the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne. This is it. This is the end of mankind on earth. And him that sat on it, this is the last judgment, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life, this is the impending judgment that is coming. This lake of fire will be the final abode of hell itself and all of hell's inhabitants. It's a poem written. God will give a person brains to smelt iron and make a hammerhead and nails. God will grow a tree and give man strength to cut it down and brains to fashion a hammer handle from its wood. And when man has the hammer and the nails, God will stretch out his hands and his feet and allow man to drive nails through his hands and feet and place him on a cruel cross in this supreme demonstration that men are without excuse. We're all guilty of crucifying Christ. We're all guilty for shedding his blood. We're all guilty because we're all sinners. And sin, there must be a price paid for sin. For your sin and for my sin. Jesus Christ, he took upon himself when he died there on that cross and was buried and rose again. He took upon himself to die for your sins and for mine. Because we're one breath away from hell. And he'll save any sinner that will come unto him and say to him, admit to him, I am a sinner, Lord Jesus. I believe that you died for my sins and was buried and rose again. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins and come into my heart and live. He made salvation very simple for you and I. With every head bowed and eye closed this morning, if you'll stand to your feet.